I don't know if you, most of you probably know who I am. Might be right perhaps just to say a little bit of word of who I am. My name is Alan Bird, B-I-R-D. My middle name is Noel. My mother, when she named me, she put two L's in my first name on the birth certificate, say L-L-A-N. But foolishly or not foolishly, I dropped an L so it'll fit in with the other names. They all have four letters, you see. So, and you think that's a crazy reason just for dropping an L. But yes, I did. I dropped an L, and so it sounds a little bit better, Alan Noel Bird. But I was born on an Aboriginal reserve in Queensland, an Aboriginal reserve by the name of Cherbourg. And there through the local missionary there, I became a Christian. I bumped into Christianity, or as I like to tell people, God ambushed me, really, because I was there, and I don't know why I was in that church, but I heard the gospel. There was no resistance whatsoever. Some people struggle and they resist, and then finally they give in. Well, there was no resistance at all. I think God just converted me there, and I just accepted what came afterwards. But that night I became a Christian, and then I'm the only cousin of my entire family who became a Christian. I have four uncles who are pastors or were pastors, and of all the cousins I have, I'm the only one. My father was godless. My grandmother had about 10 children. She had about six sons. And one of those sons was my brother, my father, and he was the most godless out of all of them. And yet, his son was the only one who became a Christian. All the other cousins I have are not Christians at all, so I can't figure that out. But who can figure out what God does? And then I just, I knew I had to go to Bible college, so I drifted into the Baptist Bible College for a couple of years, and then I went to, many years later, Wesley Institute for Ministry and Arts, and then the Bible College at Parramatta, Uniting College, and then back into the Baptist, and I managed to get a number of degrees. And then I drifted into the public service and stayed there for many, many years. I don't think anyone ever sets out in high school to want to become a public servant. I think they all just drift into the public service. I didn't like it at all. I practically hated it. You couldn't clear your in tray, no matter what you tried. At the end of the day, there was still work in your in tray. You just couldn't clear it, and it just made me sick. Yeah, month after month, year after year, and finally I was glad to get out of it. And I decided I must do some work for the Lord before He comes again. I must give myself back to the Lord. And so I accepted a call from Kempsey. I know our brother said Lismore, and I'm sure that was a very honest mistake. He just they are close to each other, I suppose, when you're standing on the moon. But if you're in a car traveling north, you wouldn't want to mistake one for the other. But yes, I am now in Kempsey, and there I am doing a work for the Lord. Very hard soil to work in. It seems like the parable, when you sow the seed, the enemy comes along straight away and he takes the seed. It hardly ever takes root in their lives. The enemy just comes and snatches it away as soon as it falls on the ground. But we persevere, and we can only be faithful to what God has called us to do. And so that's just a little bit about me. I know I am within time restrictions tonight. Partly the other two services I were at, I could just ramble on forever and ever. But I like boundaries. I like to be restricted to boundaries. So I'll try and finish. It won't be that long. I've been here 4 days. And although I don't get headaches, I'm one of these people who doesn't get headaches, but sometimes my head does become a little uptight and a little, throbbing. And I think after 4 days, it's beginning to do that. Well, the two verses of scriptures I want to speak on is Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And I know a lot of you bring your own Bibles, which is good. The practice in a lot of our churches now is they have Bibles there for you as you come through the door. And that's okay, but it's lovely to see that a lot of people bring their own Bibles. And they mark it and all do whatever they want with their Bibles. If you're like me, you have many Bibles and several Bibles, so you can look up various versions. I have a liking to the King James Version. But I find the value that there is in the NIV and the ESV. And there are many other versions you can use. I like to have several so I can compare them with the King James Bible. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm only going to read two verses, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You know, I'm sure you feel as I do that we are incredibly lucky, we people in Australia. I'm sure there are a lot of Americans who probably could say the same, Canadians, English, French, German. But we are incredibly lucky. This is, to some degree, a lucky country. No wonder people try to jump in boats and risk their lives to come here. This is, from where they come from, from the countries they come from, and they see what we have here, and they say to themselves that this must be some sort of paradise. And so they're struggling to get the money together, and they're struggling in these boats in order to make it across the sea in order to come to this land. And we are incredibly lucky with what we have. Many of us have good jobs, and those of us who don't work for some other reasons, because they can't or because they simply don't want to, well, we have safety nets. We have Centrelink and so forth and so forth. I like to tell people that a lot of us Aboriginals do belong to the largest Aboriginal tribe in the country, which is Centrelink. And it's unfortunate, but it does happen. And the worst part about it is it seems to go from generation to generation to generation, each of the generations just relying upon Centrelink. And what that does is that it instills into a lot of people, into a lot of Aboriginals, it instilled a very distorted work ethic or no work ethic at all. And whether that the government's to blame for that, I don't know. It may be that they are wasting, I think, and I think a lot of you would agree, they're wasting a lot of millions of dollars on Aboriginal welfare and affairs. It just doesn't seem to be, doesn't show anything for it. But we are in a lucky country, in a wonderful country. But the most wonderful thing about this country and other countries so far, one of the most luckiest thing is that we can serve God. We have a God, and we are extremely lucky that the God we have is the God of the Bible. He's the God whom we worship. We could be serving a deity against our will. We could have been serving a deity who imposes his will upon us. And if you read some of the myths, you'll read about deities or deities or however you pronounce it, that were very imposed their will upon those who worship them, and they're very strict and so forth and so forth. But we have a God who primarily, and I say primarily with a big word, who with a big accent and a big emphasis, I say primarily, who primarily is a God is of love. In fact, one of the shortest verses in the Bible is God is love. And so we are incredibly lucky to have this wonderful God that we have. The trouble is we don't pay enough attention to him. We're caught up in this world that we live in, and we're caught up in many other things, and we don't give God the attention that he deserves. We don't give God the intention that he certainly desires of each and every one of us. The Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, and with all our understanding, with all our being, we should love the Lord God. There are many of us here, and I'm sure a lot of you, and if not all of you, would love to love God that way. I'm sure you would, but we seem to be caught up. We're rushing around here, there, and the time is only 24 hours in a day, and we find very little time for God. But we are extremely lucky to have an incredibly wonderful and understanding God. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke to us via the prophets. There was a time, unlike now, there was a time when God only spoke in certain ways, and he only spoke on certain occasions. And he did it primarily with his own people, the people of Israel, who were the apple of his eye. They were supposed to be faithful to him so that God could use them in order to bless the nations, in order to introduce himself to the other who were godless. But nonetheless, God desired not only to have his own people, the apple of his eye, but his eye was on all the other nations as well. How else can you explain Jonah, whom God sent to go to Nineveh, who were the enemies of the people of Israel? How do you explain that other than the fact that God wished to introduce himself to that people? And the incredible way in which they repented, it's almost unheard of. There was no resistance, but immediately when Jonah gave out the word, as he was forced to, they repented immediately. And almost the whole nation, I think the Bible says that, came to know the Lord God. Well, God spoke through his own people, the people of Israel, and that's the way he desired it. He desires to introduce himself and let himself known to the whole earth. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Well, he spoke in diverse manners and in various times, but through the prophets. And what a wonderful bunch of people these prophets were. You know, you might have read that Moses once said, he turned to the people of Israel and he once said to them, he said, "I wish they were all prophets." That's what he said. And what a wonderful band of people these prophets were. They obeyed God. Well, they had to obey God. If God wanted, God is like the Canadian Mounted Police. They get their man. The Mounties, that's one of their mottos, that's one of their sayings, how we know about the Mounted Police. They get their man, so to speak. Well, God always gets his man. Now, there are some prophets who put up barriers, and they said, Moses said, "Lord, I really can't speak. I'm not eloquent. Please use my brother, Aaron." But God said, "No, God gave in halfway." He said, "Okay, I'll use your brother, Aaron, but you're the one who's to go to Pharaoh." And then we know that Gideon, God spoke to Gideon, he called Gideon. Gideon was amazed that God would want him as a prophet, as a messenger. And we're told that Gideon put out the fleece. He wanted to test God, not in a really negative way, but he just wanted to see that God had the right man. And so he was tested. He said, "God, you do this and you do that. And if it turns out as the way that I see it, then I'll know. I'll know that you really want me." And so then he spoke to Jeremiah and he spoke to Isaiah. One of the Lord's, the God said, who shall go for us? Who will I, who am I going to send? And one of the prophets, the young prophet, just jumped up and he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And then the other prophet, he was serving the Lord, but it didn't turn out the way he wanted. His understanding of God was a little different. He said, "I was deceived and you did deceive me." And he was speaking about God himself. But on the whole, most of these prophets were, they obeyed God. They were a class unto their own. There were the major prophets and there were the minor prophets. We all know about Nehemiah, Ezra, and Haggai, and all these wonderful people. I remember a lady, I shouldn't get sidetracked, but I remember a lady said to me, I was reading my Bible, and she said, she was reading her Bible, sorry, she's reading her Bible, and I came up to her and said, "What book are you reading?" And she said, "Habakkuk." I said, "No, thank you. Later on I'll have a cup, but not just now." And I suppose it's a silly little joke, But Habakkuk was one of the minor prophets, along with all the other minor prophets, the major prophets. And lo and behold, they're a wonderful group of. But you know, God is looking for prophets today. Perhaps not in that word. The Bible says that the harvest is white and ready to be harvested. It's not talking about color there. It's not saying the harvest is white and God only wants white people. You know that. That's a silly thing to correct. But it's saying that the harvest is ripe, but God is looking for preachers. He says, pray. He says to the people of God, to the congregations, he says, now pray that God will raise up preachers and send them forth into the harvest. He's looking for prophets today, preachers and evangelists. I notice a lot of people, a lot of young people today are going into various workplaces. They're picking their vocation where they're going. And that's fine. That's good. We need doctors and lawyers and bakers and butchers and all that, engineers. And we believe it or not, we do need politicians. And so these young people are going into all these various areas. But I just wish some of these young people would stop and think for a while, and they would say to themselves, maybe God wants me to go into the mission field. Maybe God wants me to be a prophet or a preacher or an evangelist. I just wish that they would just take a minute to ask themselves that question, and to ask themselves, to ask God that question. Lord, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a teacher. I would like to be a baker, butcher, lawyer, whatever. But do you have something else for me? Do you want me to be a prophet? Do you want me to be a preacher? And we need to I think our young people should just stop for a minute and ask themselves. It may be that God doesn't, you know, it's no use rushing young people into these areas if they're not, if God has not equipped them in terms of mentally, in terms of emotionally. There are some people who go into the ministry and they've made wrecks of themselves. And they go into the ministry because someone in the church thinks you'd make a great pastor or you'd make a great evangelist. And they've gone along with that. And or they brought all their natural abilities with them. But you see, God doesn't look at natural abilities. God equips. It's God who gives the power. It's God who opens and puts the words in people's mouths. And so we have to be careful here that we're sending out young people whom God has not sent out. God said they ran. They ran before me, but I didn't send them. And so we have to be careful. But by and large, I think a lot of young people in our church, especially in our churches, just ask themselves, you know, is God calling me? Perhaps I should get that correct before I do go into being a lawyer and so forth and so forth. And I think you'll find you'll be surprised, that young person will be surprised, that if that young person places himself in God's hands, it is an incredible and amazing thing what God can do with people. He may call them to be prophets. It's a wonderful thing to be, a thing to be a prophet. I don't know if we can look upon these prophets in those days and in these days. Some would say that those gifts of being prophets is done away with. We do have evangelists and we do have pastors, but the office of prophets is done away. I don't know. You know, I don't limit the Holy One of Israel. God will do what he wants to do. And if he wants to raise up men and call them evangelists, or I don't like that word evangelists, I really don't. But, you know, evangelists, to me, they're a dime a dozen. You hear about these evangelists in America, and they've deceived the people, and they've brought in all these false teaching and so forth. You remember Jimmy Swaggart and how he fell from grace. I have a tape of Jimmy Swaggart. He's singing. Very beautiful singer, Jimmy Swaggart, very beautiful songs. But he went astray and he was dallying in the ladies of the night and so forth and so forth, and so he fell. And then there was Jimmy Baker, and then there was, you know, a number of evangelists. I shouldn't say that the office of evangelism by the prophets that you see in America. I'm sure there are many of them, evangelists in the world, are very, very godly men and seek to serve the Lord. But I prefer the word prophets. There's something romantic about the word prophet, isn't there? I'd like to say, yes, I'm a prophet. You're an evangelist, Alan? Well, not really. I'm a prophet. God has called me to be a prophet. I like that word, prophet. And that's what the Lord needs today. The harvest is ready, but he cannot find. But anyhow, as I said before, we have a wonderful God who's bent on wants the world, as many as the world, to be saved. He wants the gospel to be preached in the four corners of the earth before he comes again. He said that in his word, and he said, when that happens, then he's going to wind down this world. He's going to say to his son, it is time. And the trumpet will sound, and then we will be caught up in the air. So we had that first word there, God, at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke to us in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, but hath in these last days by his son. In these last days, and I take that to mean in the last days, I take that to mean when Christ's ministry began, when the babe was born in Bethlehem, when John the Baptist came on the scene. I take that to mean the beginning of the last days. I hope you do too. You may have another view. But hath in these last days spoken to us by his son. And he's spoken to us by his son and only his son. He's not spoken to us. He hasn't given us any new revelation. You find these men will knock on your door. And you might tell them, well, I have this Bible, and this is this version of the Bible, and this is what I used, and what is the Bible that's recognized through most of the reputable churches. And they might say to you, well, that's well and good, yes, that's fine, but you know, we have a better and a new revelation. And this is our Bible. And can we come in and talk to you about it? Well, the Bible says here plainly that God hath spoken to us in these latter days through his son, not through some other special revelation, through some tablets that some man has found, or through the Virgin Mary that gave this person the vision and that vision and whatever. The Bible says plainly that God has spoken to us through his son, not through any other revelation. God's last word is through his son. He has nothing more to say for your salvation and my salvation, other than what we have in Jesus Christ. He is God's yea and amen. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is God's Son, and there is no other revelation that can be provided for us here on earth for our full salvation. And if anyone comes to you and says, I have a new revelation, I have a new teaching from the Lord, well, it had better correspond with what the Word of God says. It had better line up with what the doctrines of the Bible. It had better correspond with what we have in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, it is a false gospel. And there are many of false gospels coming in the world today. God has spoken to us in these latter days through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's last word. He is God's last revelation. It is he whom Jesus said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And you'll find that, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament, they had to get it right. They couldn't come with their own revelation or their own messages. They could only quote what God told them to do. They couldn't be that imaginative. They couldn't be geniuses in their own right, saying things that or putting an interpretation on what God had said, distorting the message. They had to say what God said. And you find it's the same with our in the political world with our ambassadors. I like watching documentaries. Don't you like watching documentaries? Other than all the other rubbish on all these American television shows, these police shows and all these CSI. After a while, you get sick of them. You know, I like watching documentaries. Most of these documentaries come on SBS, and I like to watch them. There was a documentary there once on the presidency of John F. Kennedy. And they had a tape. Audible tape. Of course, he had a habit of taping all his conversations in the White House. That's what got Richard Nixon into trouble, didn't it? Taping all his conversations in the White House. And it went against him. They found the smoking gun, as you say, the smoking gun through all the tapes that Nixon had in his White House. Well, John F. Kennedy started all that. He taped all his conversations. But I remember he had a conversation with his vice president, Lyndon Johnson. And he was pulling Johnson into line. And he said to Johnson, look, you can't say this. You've been saying things in public, but you can't say it because you misrepresent what my administration is doing. You misrepresent what I am saying. And so he hauled Lyndon Johnson over the coals, and poor old Lyndon Johnson was on the other end of the line saying, well, I'm sorry, Mr. President. And he kept on over and over saying, I'm sorry, Mr. President, I won't do that again. And Johnson, he said, well, all right, that's fine, and then just hung up. But you see, you have to be very careful what you say on behalf of the president, on behalf of the prime minister, on behalf of the chancellor, on behalf of the premier. You have to be very careful. You can't be imaginative. You can't just say the things that don't represent your leader. And that's where the prophets came in. They said almost verbatim what God the Father had said, and they gave out that message. You can be a little more imaginative if you're an evangelist today, or if you're a preacher today, and sometimes that gets them into trouble. You hear these late night tele-evangelists and these preachers, and some of the messages that they bring in. I'm getting a little sick and tired. I sometimes listen to Kenneth Copeland, but I'm getting a little sick and tired. It seems to be the same message over and over again, and that on prosperity and how God will bless you. It's the same thing over and over again. It's a little bit different with Joyce Myers. And I never watch Benny Hill. I just can't. I'm sorry. But anyhow, they can be, and their messages gets them into trouble because you can detect that it's somehow the other teaching, somehow the gospel, it doesn't correspond with the Bible. And they can get away with it, you know, these days. But in the Old Testament, if God called them, he would have certainly belted them around, hit them over the head. You remember God had to pull one of his prophets in the line through a donkey. Was it Balaam? He was getting a little hot-headed, probably very impatient. He took it out on this donkey that was going before him, and God performed some sort of miracle. I think it is. The donkeys don't talk today. He must have performed some sort of miracle because this donkey just up and spoke back to him. And a lot of people might think today, well, ooh, that still happens today in our pulpits. But anyhow, you know, you had to in the Old Testament make sure that you got it right. And I prefer that word prophet. It's a wonderful word, and it's a wonderful office. Well, God has spoken in these latter days through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say we have certain benefits in through our Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly have salvation, but we also are joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We are joint heirs with Christ. Amazing that he would want to share that with us, but we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, God's Son. And one day we shall be changed. I find this absolutely amazing that one day we shall be changed into his image, the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right now we are going from one degree of glory to another. Each week, each month, each year, as it goes by, we become more mature in Christ, and we're going from one degree of glory to another. But then, on that final day, we shall be transformed completely into the image of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is! Where those of us who wish we could, you know, stop sinning and stop being an unfaithful servant and you know, stop doing this and stop doing that and being more faithful to God. There'll come a day when we won't have this old nature battling against it. We shall be completely changed into the image of God's dear Son. From one degree of glory to another, but then fully transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there it is, just a short message to reflect on how God speaks when he speaks. And also reflected, finally, he speaks to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son. And, you know, you might say, well, why Jesus? Some people say, you know, there are many roads, many ways to Rome. But there may be many roads to get you to Rome, but there's only one way, salvation. And that is in through Jesus Christ. And you can only get through heaven other than through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I say, we say, well, why Jesus Christ? First of all, because he's the only Son of God. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. He's called in Isaiah 9:6. He is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He is also called the Everlasting Father. He is called the Prince of Peace. He is also called the Holy One in Mark 1:24. He is called the Son of the Highest in Luke 1:32. He is called Emmanuel in Matthew. In John, he is called the Lamb of God. In Acts, he is called the Prince of Life. In Revelation, the Lord God Almighty. And he is, and so forth and so forth. In Revelation, he's called also the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And there's the list just goes on. He's called the Root of David, the Word of Life, the King of Kings. He is called the Great I Am, the Lord of Lords. He is our Advocate. He's the Way, the Truth, the Life. He's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, our Savior. He's the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. All this in Christ Jesus. No wonder God says, this is my beloved Son. You know, hear ye him. My last word, my last revelation is in him. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to go via Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no other way. Some people would say there are other ways, but there's no other way other than you get these other religions that will tell you that if you come through them, then you're sure to find enlightenment. Well, you won't find enlightenment. All you'll find is darkness. That's all you'll find. And you'll be more bewildered and more confused than ever after you've spent years in some of these Eastern religions and so forth and so forth. There's Confucianism, and which is, you know, aptly named. You'll be well and truly confused after you have gone through that. And the list just goes on and on. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the chief cornerstone, the righteous judge, the light of the world. He's a bright and morning star. And he is the head of the church, praise God. He is the head of the church, your life and my life and the church as a congregation, as a unique gathering of believers. He's the chief shepherd, the resurrection and the life. And finally, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega that we find in the book of Revelation. Well, what a wonderful Savior that we have. And it's through this Savior that we have that God says, this is my beloved Son. This is my final revelation. And all my yeas, all my yeses are found in Christ Jesus for you and for me. So unless you have Christ Jesus into life, I urge you to at least investigate the matter, at least keep an open mind. Come now and let us reason together, says God. I'm not an unreasonable God. If you've got something against me, well, here I am. Come and reason with me. If you think I've done you wrong, or if you think it sounds ridiculous to be washed in the blood, well, you know, don't stay apart from the church and don't just give up on me altogether. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed and white and red like crimson and so forth, and white as snow. All these things, and all these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, his final revelation.
There were question marks being raised.